This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A silent storm begins to brew in an ancient land of darkness. With tumultuous force from the crust of the earth, two worlds come together as one, from the past and the present, celebrating culture and spirit, paving the pathway to our future. It's time for dreaming. Urban dreaming. Finding your voice. Finding your spirit. Joy 94.9. Wawinjeka, Joy 94.9 would like to acknowledge and pay respect to the sovereign peoples of the past, present and future generations of the Kulin Nations on whose unceded land we work, live and broadcast from. We would also like to acknowledge all our brother boys and sister girls of the LGBTI communities.
Hi, this is Alfie Akuri. You're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy.
Yes, welcome to Urban Dreaming. This is Sarami on the mic.
Hello, it's Maddie again.
Hey, Declan, glad to be back.
So, great show this evening, guys. It's going to be too deadly, I reckon. We've got an amazing guest joining us tonight. We'll have a quick chat with her soon, very soon. And quickly, Matt, just tell us what's the segment from last week.
Oh, geez. We had a massive show last week. And, we chatted with BB Backhouse about the permanent flag raising of the Indigenous flag in the Torres Strait Islander one, which was 3 years in the making for BB, but an incredible, incredible thing for our culture. So that's the Indigenous flag and the Torres Strait Islander flag being flown full-time at Fed Square, which is awesome. We had Uncle Michael Anderson have a quick chat to us about Uluru and the statement, and excitingly, we've got him back again this week.
Yeah, it's great to have him back. You know, we cut him off a bit short last time, but luckily...
Just a little, but luckily
he's back this week, and, you know, really exciting to talk to him. He was the last surviving member of the 10 Embassy and a leader in the 70s Black Power movement.
Yeah, just an amazing, you know, the opportunity to have this opportunity to speak to Uncle Michael Anderson is amazing because he's a very busy man. And so know that interview is happening very soon. And hopefully we'll get a chat with Gail Malbo as well. So if she's on the line, hopefully we can get her. But there is a very interesting topic that we will be just discussing, which is actually happening this evening with Clinton Pryor. So keep an ear for that one. Okay, guys, we're going to play a song for you right now. This is Emma Donovan with Heartland. Is that them?
Everyone.
Yes, that was Emma Donovan, one of our sissies there, Deadly Singer. And the video clip is actually quite amazing too. So that was the song?
It was
Heartland.
The Dead Heart.
Dead Heart.
So originally sung by Midnight Oil in 1987 in their classic Diesel and Dust record, obviously to do with Indigenous land rights. And, you know, the year before there was the 1988 Invasion Day protests at Sydney Harbour Bridge. So great cover there from Emma Donovan. And, you know, from a really a classic album full of a lot of songs that still resonate and still get played often today.
That's really good. Now, we are actually here, you know, celebrating music of our culture, but of course we're celebrating Joy 94.9. We still need Joy, and Joy needs you as well. We've got the Radiothon on, guys, so don't forget to renew your membership or sign up if you've been listening and you're loving what's going on, but you haven't got a membership with us. You could go into the draw to win yourself a Holden Astra. It's $27,000 worth of car just for joining up to be able to listen to us and be that member of Joy. That would be amazing if you guys could do that. And also, if you are listening, let's find out, what are you doing? You can SMS us here in the studio for Urban Dreaming on 0427 Joy 949, or shoot us an email on air at joy.
Dot.
I don't know.
Big dot. No.
Big dot.
What is it?
He's looking.
Joy.org.au. I just had a big brain fart. That's what I did. Yeah, so send us an SMS is probably the easiest thing to do because I know that number. Let us know what you're up to.
Joy.org.au. So, guys, just know that, because Urban Dreaming, we are, you know, we're a show that we try to educate mob, I guess, about us mob. And really, the conversations we have, we're open to you guys to give us a few comments to allow us to give you more of an understanding, or for us to, I guess, get more of a perspective of what you think is what you think it is, really, or what it isn't. So that's where we're here to help you.
Speaking of mob, we do have a special person in the studio tonight, don't we?
We do indeed, and it's that's the next guest I wanted to mention. So that's actually my niece too. So this is Gal. How are you, Gal?
Good, thanks, Uncle Siri. How are you?
You might have to just get a little bit closer to the microphone there. Deadly.
Sorry.
So just so you know, guys, Gal is actually going to be our female representation. Yeah!
Yeah!
And we've been discussing this for a couple of weeks now, and I think it's just deadly because we do need that. We can't always just be, you know, a patriarch. We need a bit of matriarchy. And the idea of us knowing that we've got a female, you know, she's from the Kimberleys, of course, but In regards to, you know, we're going to start developing our Urban Dream team, I think, and we're going to have a couple more females and obviously try to get representation from everywhere.
So, no more secret men's business.
No, that's right. So, yeah, welcome aboard, Gal, and let us know a bit more about your background.
Beautiful. Thank you for that, Uncle. Yeah, so I'm from Derby in the Kimberleys, and I've just moved to Melbourne, so it really is that urban dreaming for me now, as I grew up quite traditional and I'm in the big smoke. So, yeah, this, I'm really loving the city and I'm absolutely honoured to be a part of Joy Radio, and I'm really, really excited for the following weeks, and I'm really happy that you've been so open to have a fresh female perspective and voice. I have a lot to say and the topics are amazing, so I'm really, really excited.
So Gal's actually got a bit of journalism background as well, which is awesome. And you went to Greenland, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I spent a year there, so...
Wow. So yeah. Completely different, you know, area of
yeah,
I guess.
First Indigenous woman to be in Greenland, from Australia. So
wow.
Yeah, that it was huge for me to go, and especially for Aboriginal people. I put the flag up in a few different places.
I was going to ask, did you put up a flag?
Yeah, totally represent, totally.
How was it? How that sounds incredible. What was a highlight, a massive highlight for you?
I think the obvious thing to say that I was freezing my nura off. But it was absolutely beautiful. And the biggest highlight was the exchange I did with the Inuits. And, you know, to be that far, literally polar opposite sides of the world, and to find... such a similarity, and so to feel at home on the other side of the world was absolutely magical, because the Inuit people, they're very similar to us mob down here, and there was a lot of parallels between the culture and social issues and the dreaming as well and the culture. So it was just beautiful to be at home in a place that was so, so far away.
Yeah, I got to see some of the pictures from you and your partner David, and I think the idea of, you know, obviously being from a remote community, which you are from in Derby of all places, and then going to, you know, a completely isolated but cold country, and knowing that there's, you know, there is polar bears, isn't there?
Yeah,
yep. And there's whales wherever you go, and
whales, seals, polar bears, you name it all, and you know they hunt and eat it all. Yeah. So I was there. Seal actually tastes like gulal, which is a Bardi word for turtle. So they were cooking up seal on the rocks, and a hunter said, "Oh, do you want some?" And I had a taste, and I was like, "This is like turtle." Like it was.
And what does turtle taste like?
Oh. Like seal.
Turtle is
tastes like chicken, or just
turtle.
Like,
no,
like what
way.
for the people?
It's hard to explain, isn't it?
Because
turtle is actually, it's got its own sort of, I guess, taste. But there's a thing of, I don't know, because we've eaten so much gulil in our time, and it's
exactly.
Like I still feel like I'm so sensitive, because you see the turtle, they're crying too, you know, like their eyes are, you know, and I never would hunt them, but I would eat them though, which is funny enough, crazy. But I've actually stopped eating turtle because I started getting to a point where I just went, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Where do you get turtle from down here?
No, not from here.
Oh, right.
But, yeah, it's just got us. I don't know. How can you explain the taste? We'll have to talk about that another time,
yeah,
I guess.
Exactly.
But for now, the word is gulal. So if you want to learn that word, peoples, gulal is actually from the West Kimberleys, and that's all the way through Broome as well. Mm. So just know that, that's the word for turtle.
Commonly associated with the Bardi tribe.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stay tuned, guys. We're on Urban Dreaming, and we'll be right back.
Swept across Australia in the 1960s. Many people fought for their basic human rights. The right to walk into shops, cinemas, try on clothes, swim in a public pool, to buy a cuppa from a local cafe, and of course the right to vote. They are part of the movement changing the world. One man, Eddie Kweki Mabo, took the fight to the highest establishments in the land. He challenged the most powerful laws of the country. A legacy of a courageous man, a freedom fighter, a deep thinker, a free spirit, a father, son and brother. A person connected to the history and a visionary that saw long into the future. He knew that things must change for his people.
The messenger breeds his truth with a native tongue. For the future, the journey, an important one. His story was one about birthright. History will remember this great fight. That moment terra nullius abolished, planted a seed for our people to be acknowledged. Inspire minds with visions of sovereignty. Reclaim our heritage, reclaim our identity. A warrior stands for its beliefs. What is a chief if he never learns to lead? Carry the flags, burn a memoir created for us, and tell our stories so our children believe. George Mice said we deserve the best. The time for change is here, step proud and show our strength. And in this moment, may we never forget those who fought the battles for us to get respect. Sight, a legacy of Jew with a great fight. Let's not forget David Passy, who shares this moment. The spear that broke a system, so heroic. They are the leaders of which the future will remember. History is the story we speak. The names run deep in your veins. Speak of a world where culture remains. June 3, let us march in unity. A single moment that defined our identity. Carry the flags, burn a memo created for us, and tell our stories so our children believe. Malu Wap said we deserve the best. The time for change is here, step proud and show our strength. And in this moment, let us never forget those who fought these battles for us to get respect.
Beautiful song there. That's Koiki by Mau Power featuring Radical Sun. Deadly indeed. Just wanted to say a quick quick introduction again to Gal. Welcome aboard on Urban Dreaming. Such a pleasure to have you with us and having representation for women, the Indigenous women of our country, which is deadly. Also, you're on Urban Dreaming, guys. The time is 8:20, and some interesting times we have at the moment, Declan.
Yeah, I was just down at Parliament House, and someone has arrived there today, and he has actually travelled 4,800 kilometres over the past 9 months from Perth. He's been travelling through West Australia, Northern Territory, South Australia, and now he's in Wurundjeri country here in Naam, also known as Melbourne. And I went and spoke to him about where he's from, what his mob is and what he's been doing. So he was actually going to Canberra, and he's hoping to meet potentially with policymakers there. And it's interesting to note that actually his route has taken him along ancient song lines that Aboriginal people have used to navigate the continent. And many of them were turned into roads by European colonizers who were reliant on Aboriginal guides in the past. And he's been through 5 pairs of shoes, and it's really was a pleasure to talk to him. So here it is, just talking to him about where he's from and what he's been doing.
My name is Clint Pry, but that's my Christian name. My traditional tribal name is Dumba. I'm from Perth. My people are the Rudjak, Baladong, the Piruba mob in East Kimberley. And I started my journey last year, September the 8th, from Perth. And now I'm here today in Melbourne.
Tell us, where have you walked to and why are you walking?
I'm walking because the journey started off first for the forced closures of communities and for the homeless. I was one of the original protesters on Harrison Island for 16 months. And I started the journey off for forced closure of communities and for the homeless. And went out and started this journey to go out to find the truth and find a way and find out all the issues and what's been going on in communities. And actually find the truth instead of listening to media and people on Facebook. Then actually just go out and see it with your own eyes and experience it and see it. Then you know you have something to stand on.
And what have you learned from talking to communities along the way?
What I have learned on from going through all these communities, homelands, and stations is the frustration and the anger from a lot of our people and how things are not being done properly for a lot of our people. We've been asking for things to be done properly for the last 50 years and things too has not been done right. And now this government wants to put us in recognised. We do not want to be recognised. We want a treaty first. But a treaty must be written by our people and this government must sign off as a foreign identity.
And what are you planning to do when you get to Canberra?
My job is to not go see the Prime Minister because we know for the last 50 years a lot of our people have went to go see the Prime Minister to address him about issues about our people. He only dared to take photos and make himself look good with previous Prime Ministers before Malcolm Turnbull, and still has not been done right, so I've decided to go see the Governor-General.
And what's the communities on the ground said about forced community closures? What are their feelings about that?
Our people do not want communities to be closed down, because our people lived on these communities all their life for the last 100,000 years since the creation of the Dreaming, when the creation of the beginning of time as well. And our people have been living there for a long time. On top is where its culture is, sacred sites are, and there's ceremony grounds, and also there is cemetery burial sites that people are buried out there too, and they don't want to leave their people.
And you talk about the history and the culture in different communities. When you've been walking, have you had to follow any protocols in the different nations you've visited?
Yes. Every country area that we come across, every nation area, we must be they must be welcome to country. We follow a protocol. It's called I protocol, the Aboriginal protocol, where back in the old days, when you're going into another person's country area, you must have permission to go in there, but you must be welcome in there first. If you're not welcoming in there first, you cannot go accessing into their country or walk past their country area. So before we enter another country area, we always ring up the council groups in each area, representatives of each of the country areas, and ask them to welcome us in by elders. And then once they welcome us in, we have clear access all the way from where that country onwards to the next country area then.
And you mentioned earlier the treaty call, and that of course came up at Uluru. It's been going for many years, since the 1980s.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts about what a treaty would look like and what you would hope that it could accomplish?
Well, for starters, it's really good that the states, or South Australian states and Victoria, is looking for treaty talks, but they're rushing it. And what we learned in South Australia, that there's only three country groups representing the 40, where the Premier over that way in South Australia must actually go out and see all the country groups. And each country group must have time to discuss what treaty they want and what do they want in the treaty. And the government cannot, the states cannot just do one treaty for all. It must be different treaties for different areas, because everyone must, every country group might have different ideas of what they want in a treaty. And on top, they must give them time to talk about treaty talks between their people before they sign it off to the before they make agreement with the Premier here in Victoria or in South Australia.
And have you or anyone you've talked to got ideas about how governments can do this process more thoughtfully, more with more community involvement?
I would reckon that each state and federal should support our people on actually having the time and also funding it, where our people can get together to talk about treaties and what do we want for a treaty, and then on top the government can sign off on it to support us. If they don't support us in any Russian treaties, and if the government's writing it down and not our people, then we're going to go through the same mistakes how the Native Americans, what they are going through, and with the Maoris in New Zealand, and also any other Indigenous people, First Nation people around the world, what they treat.
Finally, what's been one of the most memorable experiences so far since you began your journey?
Uluru. Going into Uluru, to the heartland, and meeting the traditional owner Reggie Uluru and Cassidy Uluru, and on top also giving a gift, the piece of the rock as a gift to carry him with me all the way from the heartland to Canberra. So I'm carrying a piece of the heartland rock with me to Canberra to go speak with the Governor-General.
Thank you so much, Clinton. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Hey, you mob. This is Davey, and you're listening to Urban Dreaming on Joy. Deadly.
Yes, Urban Dreaming, and the time is 8:27, and we were just discussing earlier with Clinton Pryor, and Declan had the opportunity to talk to Clinton, and let us know, Declan, what happened from there on.
So, essentially, I mean, as we just heard, you know, Clinton Pryor walking from WA to Canberra and in Melbourne now. He originally began just because he was looking to learn on the ground about what was happening with the closure of remote communities. And as he said in his interview, it wasn't enough just to hear it online, but to really be there on the ground and see what was happening. And I thought to myself, you know, I mean, I'd be curious to know what you mob think, you know, about this issue of, we hear a lot in the media about what goes on, but I think it's hard for people to know, you know, what it really is like in remote communities or in other areas on the ground. I mean, did anyone have any thoughts about that discrepancy where they've ever had something that they thought was in the media not accurately representing what was going on?
Well, the closures of the communities is one, and that's the main one. And the ideas of communities being closed and giving false information, that's what really ticks me off, because there's a lot of stuff that, again, it's been misconstrued through the media. And it's really important that we understand that a lot of these mob are actually having to earn their own money through even just being Centrelink, for example, getting the Centrelink and having to pay their own from these Centrelink wages into community to be able to support themselves to get food and water.
He did actually mention the price of food. Anyone who's been to remote communities knows it's, you know, $10 for a kilo of apples. There's ridiculous price, especially for fresh fruit and vegetables, which do compound health problems and so on. I grew up in Kalgoorlie and Laverton myself, where Clinton travelled to, and I was curious to ask him about how things have changed, because I have heard places like Laverton that are mining dependent have really had problems with their economy since the 1980s. And, you know, as the mining boom inevitably moves on, these communities do have trouble and do have trouble having their voice heard.
And it shouldn't be having these problems because, like you said, the mining companies are there. These are companies that have money, billions of dollars. And yet the people of the community who actually are the mob that actually been living there all their lives are being the ones that have to suffer and deal with these consequences. And it's just unfair. And there's also, I heard that, you know, and I know this, there's about many communities who actually have to walk at least up to 40 Ks just to get some water, some fresh water, because all the waters are polluted by these mining industries. You know, and that's just terrible. This has been going on for so long, and for what Clinton's doing is so important for a man to stand out there and just one, you know, this is one person doing this. The power of one and the idea of getting the message across to our people and to communities and country, the idea of knowing that for too long Aboriginal people have suffered for 250-odd years, the idea is we need enough is enough, you know.
And I think for Clinton to really highlight the forced closure of the communities again is really significant because, it got really quiet again after a while, and I was really, really hurt by the proposal. And as we talk about the media being unclear, Colin Barnett and Tony Abbott, they never stated a very clear reason why they were closing these communities down, and there's so many questions about it. And like our mob and us, we were never given an answer. It was so unclear. He blamed it on health
issues
and this whole issue of the lifestyle choice, exactly. And it just, you know, it was so diluted with absolute rubbish, and we never got any truth out of it. And for him to highlight again, it's bringing up these questions that were never answered, and we shouldn't leave questions unanswered, and either should our country. So I think it's really, really important that he brought them up again.
It's like the no sugar, I guess the epidemic in regards to what happens. You know, there's this false information. They were saying there was people out with the skin diseases, for example. There's only 4% of the community that was hit, and only 4 people from our own mob that were actually affected. And for them to be using this as an excuse to be able to force people and remove them from communities and put them into, reserves, the idea is, you know, that the whole concept was obviously just to remove mob as much as possible.
Yeah, it's a simulation all over again. It was just modern assimilation.
Can I ask you, Gal, how did it feel? I mean, you were in a remote community at the time this was happening in the media.
Yeah, so one of the communities I grew up on, which is Nyigana land, and that's Jalbarenga, very, very, very tight family that are from their very strong and traditional family, and they were absolutely gobsmacked. And they wrote to the Premier of Western Australia asking him for answers, and they wrote to the all representatives, and they just got no answers, and they were absolutely gobsmacked because they didn't have the problems that the media was portraying. Like, this community is a very safe, it does have a few problems, whatnot, but it, in terms and in relativity, it's not that bad. It's a very strong community. And I thought it was just so heartbreaking, and it was such a big lie in a way to put this beautiful community under threat. And instead of fixing or instead of implementing new strategies to get these communities up and running, they did the complete opposite. And I was honestly heartbroken. So I was actually in Victoria during the time when I found out, and I rang up my mob and I was like, you guys are right or what? Are you going to live in Derby now? They're like, no, we don't want to live in Derby. Like, more troubles there, that more things will go wrong, and this is our safe place, you know? So I was here, and I went to a few of the protests, and I did express myself about how I felt, but I was absolutely heartbroken, and I still am. And I'm really, really happy that Clinton's highlighting it again, because it's something that we should not just let slip. Like, it's something that we should still talk about today and really learn from.
I feel his message is really catching on, because you mentioned, Suri, that when he went to Uluru, which he said was a highlight of his trip, he calls it, you know, the heartland, and he met with Uluru elders there who gave him a piece of the rock to carry with him. You mentioned someone actually accompanied him from that part of the trip onwards from Uluru.
Yeah, one of the uncles actually decided to travel with him. That's what I heard, and I'm pretty sure it's accurate. So, you know, it just goes to show that for someone to be able to do this and to, you know, their natural connection for Mob to go, he's doing such a great thing, I want to join him. You know, that essence of he can do it, I can do it, you know. And this is an old fellow, mind you, walking several hundred thousand kilometres just to stick by that person's side. You know, and I guess another way of looking at it is look at Forrest Gump, for example. He did the same sort of thing. You know, he went on a little run, and then all these mob joined him. But that just goes to show that's the power of people, yeah, and his connection. So the idea of this old fellow, like I said, an old man who's probably, you know, struggles to even walk even, or may have, you know, I don't know about his heart condition, but it's not obviously good for an old person to be walking so far. But when you think about what drives you, you know, nothing stops you, isn't it? The passion and the power that you drive from within your own force, know that you can actually, you know, if you've got something set in your mind, you're going to do it, and you won't care what sort of elements are going to stop you on the way. So, yeah, well done to them.
And speaking of resources and the government being able to listen to community, there is an irony here because, look, in the many thousands of kilometres that he's walked, I did actually hear a report from The Age that said that when he was walking, he actually had a setback where the camber of the road caused him to walk in an uneven way, and it triggered an infection and a large swelling in his knee.
Yeah, he got really sick.
A bit of irony there, but yeah, he kept going through that.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And just recently, because just before we came here to the studio, they had the big gathering at the Flinders Station, or Flinders Street, sorry, and just the capacity of, you know, the not just blackfellas, but people of all nations standing together, of all countries, and supporting such an incredible man. And you know, hearing those words resonate in ourselves, knowing that, what are we going to do if things fall through? We're going to stand up and be counted still. We're going to make sure we're there. The whole idea about protesting and getting your message across, you have to, unfortunately, it's not the best way, but, you know, because I know a lot of people think it's aggressive, you know. We want to try, I guess the idea of us being someone who's passionate and driven, we also got to understand we can't be too aggressive in our nature or our way of expression. So, you know, don't just take our mob as thinking that's all we are, like as in we aren't always there. We're not violent people. We're just trying to get a message across. And the idea of protesting is, unfortunately, that's a part of the journey and us to get the word out there.
There was a bit of optimism in what he was saying, because he mentioned treaty there, and he mentioned that he was aware of South Australia and Victoria having their treaty negotiations. And there was optimism. He did also mention that he felt the process, you know, he mentioned there in the interview, South Australia having three communities or so on out of 40. And again, I think these problems that, as you're mentioning, Suri, people are always needing to fight back on, needing to remind people they have a voice, saying, you know, there are communities that are ignored. There are processes that are being rushed unnecessarily. And I do think that, you know, it was good to see that he did have the optimism. He was saying that, look, treaties do interest him. He's willing to listen, and he does want to potentially talk to people in Canberra, whether they are politicians, whether they are grassroots people on the ground, whoever they may be. But he is also conscious that these processes are often flawed, and that's why things are slow moving and change. You know, it takes a long time after, you know, 220 odd years, 250 years. You know, it's really, I think, a case where it is a problem. And, you know, look, just in honour of Clinton and what he's doing, I thought for this next song that we'd like to play you, we're going to play an artist who is from WA. He also is a young man who puts a lot of attention towards social issues, and his name is Ziggy, and this is Ziggy with Black Thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Black lives matter, that's the subject matter. Tell you to climb and they burn down your ladder. Sick of playing games like snakes and ladders. Matter of fact, I'm like Michael Jack, I'm better. Now this journey got me learning like Charlie Perkins. Educated black man, tired of soul searching, tired of hurting, tired of working and not earning the same respect as my counterpart. My people in the deathbed by preventable heart disease. Served through rations brought from overseas on ships full of convicts and common thieves. Same ships the one that brought my mother's jeans. Same ships the one that got me wearing jeans. Same ships brought scholarships to university so I can be a doctor and fix my people. What's health when you're still not equal? The blacker the berry, the sweeter the juice. The darker the skin, the quicker police shoot. Labeled as heroes that we all salute. But lest we forget our stolen youth, our history is a mystery. But I know it word for word, yeah, it's clear to me. So what's the way forward? What's the way forward? They throw us straight in jail, yeah, no court cases on cases labeled as alcoholics and never racist. Grab some shoe polish and paint the blackest faces. Darker than the past, darker than our present, darker than the future that we're surely destined. Cause it's all good to call Mr. Goods an ape as long as you're 13 and have a white face. But I ain't happy, man. That shit is a disgrace. No game, no cards to play. It's more than race.
Australians all, let us rejoice, for we are young and free. My people die young in this country. And yet we are 25%, a quarter of those Australians, locked up in our prisons. And if you are a juvenile, it is worse. It is 50%. An Indigenous child is more likely to be locked up in prison than they are to finish high school.
Should I be on my knees saying thank you? I beat a statistic, I should be thankful. Right, wrong, I'm writing this song. Cause this shit has gone on for too long. I'm not over it, nor will I ever be. I refuse to use your memory. I refuse to lose our identity. Our ancestors died defending me. Defending the right to racism is time wasting. Open up your eyes wide, it's time to face it. Open up your hearts and it's time to embrace it. If you motherfuckers don't, I'm empty and loaded cases. AK-47 is not my choice of weapon. I'ma throw an invisible spear and really get you threatened. Throw my blackness in your face without a warning message. Enough with this shit, can we please just end it? Yeah. It's time to end it. Hey. Yeah. It's time to end it.
That song now, just then, was Ziggy Black Thoughts, a WA artist, and you were listening to Urban Dreaming 94.9.
Yeah. So, Gal, we just got to make sure you keep your voice into the microphone. Yeah, very important. We want to hear your voice. All right, guys. So just so you know, people, we've just been speaking about Clinton Pryor, and we're going into now a bit of a conversation with Maddie about celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, Clinton Pryor is a celebrity of his own right, but we're going to chat a little bit about our celebrities, our Indigenous celebrities of film and television and theatre. And I thought I'd just shine a spotlight on Hunter Page Lockhart, who you might have seen on Clever Man or Around the Block or Wentworth or The Sapphires. He's been on everything. He's been a very, very busy man. But what I wanted to talk about was the fact that he was one of the Heath Ledger Scholarship entrants. And he didn't necessarily win it. But what he did was he flew the flag for not only Australia, but he's flying the flag for the Indigenous people. And he really has such a strong connection to culture and a really strong voice. And what I love about him as an actor is that he... I feel as though he uses his heart and his connection to culture to share so beautifully his craft of acting. I watched recently a little Vimeo of him. It was a film that was starring him. He was talking about the 1967 referendum and its historical context. Now, we've been talking a little bit about the referendum. It's the 50th year for that. And if you want to... have a really quick look at it and sort of learn about the history and what it means. Hunter Page Lockhart does a really, really great job of that. It features a contemporary comments from prominent Australians discussing how they feel about the referendum on its 50th anniversary. it's part of the exhibition, yes, the ongoing story of the 1967 referendum. I thought it was really great. I think he's really great. And there are so many Indigenous actors, musicians, sportsmen, or just countrymen that we're going to shine lights on throughout Urban Dreaming. So if you are listening out there and you want us to sort of chat about any form of Indigenous actor or musician that you might know about, make sure that you text in on 0427 Joy 949. We'd love to hear from you guys. I think that's incredible. And also, there are other incredible Indigenous actors out and about.
Yes. So, because I was just thinking for Sharina Clanton, because she's actually currently doing the Macbeth for the Melbourne Theatre Company. So Macbeth is actually currently showing at the Melbourne Theatre Company, and they've got a really amazing artist who's obviously been in Hollywood for a couple of years now, and that's Jai Courtney. He's a big name in the industry. And, you know, Sharina is as well, so not forgetting that, of course. And she's actually an artist who's been in Wentworth, and she's mainly, I think she's probably more so leaning towards film and television, but the idea of knowing that she's getting more predominantly, you know, getting into theatre. And this is going to be an amazing production, guys, so it's something that you should definitely check out. So it's basically, yeah, the productions of Richard III and Hamlet. And Simon Phillips brings the Shakespeare back to MTC with a fearsome new production of this epic tragedy. So, yeah, that's Jai Courtney, Geraldine Hackwell, of course, Sharina, and, there's one other brother boy.
This actual production, though, I think, is actually Macbeth, the one that's coming up. He directed Richard III, Hamlet in the past, and the Melbourne Theatre Company is producing Macbeth with Jai Courtney. So when is that? The 7th of June to the 15th of July at South Bank Theatre?
Yep, and in regards to that, because I've been running this organisation with the ISP, which is the Indigenous Scholarship Program, and a lot of these young fellas who are basically, you know, in the development of their years, getting to become artists of all, I guess, all forms in through the theatre world. A lot of them are wanting to be designers or actors or directors, etc. And they're going to be lucky enough to meet Jai Courtney as well as Sharina and have a conversation and do a workshop with these guys. And it just goes to show, like, the idea of young fellas, you know, aspiring to their dreams and connecting to big theatre companies. You know, and the prospects are just enormous, knowing that there's going to be such great support. And this is something that we want to create as a platform for our mob through Urban Dreaming, knowing that we have these ideas of you know, future collaborations with artists, and knowing that these young fellas are going to be a part of Urban Dreaming, and knowing we're going to get some youth perspective as well. So that's just something I'm really looking forward to.
I wonder if I can tell a really embarrassing anecdote, and if anyone has their own to share. I actually, you know, I was born in Kalgoorlie and I grew up there, and I remember, and I'm not joking, this is a true story, reading a James Bond novel, not by Ian Fleming, but by another author doing a spin-off after Ian Fleming died, a James Bond novel where James Bond visited Kalgoorlie, and that is not made up, that is a true story, and, you know, I was like 12 years old. I was a kid. I got laughed at in the Angus and Robertson for even asking for James Bond novels and gambling books and shit. But basically, I did notice that, you know, he actually visited Kalgoorlie, and it was really a shock to me. And I wonder, like, maybe Gal, I don't know if you ever had an experience where you've been to Greenland and, you know, and we talked about what a jump that is coming from Derby.
Yeah.
Were you ever conscious when you were young about, or even in retrospect, thinking, you know, oh, what it means to come from somewhere like that, and then, you know, that cliche about the big wide world or so on?
I mean, I definitely knew there was a big wild world out there. And I think the urban sort of lifestyles did seem quite magical and foreign to me, and I was lucky enough to travel when I was a bit younger. I went to Laos when I was like 10 with my father, and we lived in a treehouse, and he was doing conservation work there, and that was really incredible. But in terms of like this big celebrity world, when I went to Greenland, I was on the plane with the Prince of Denmark, and his wife is from Tasmania, the Princess. So there's a bit of celebrity stars going on there, and I could see him from the like from the reflection because he was a few seats up, and all the Greenlandic women were just staring at him. They were all in love.
Why was that? Just he's particularly famous or particularly good looking?
Yeah, he's the prince of Denmark, and Denmark is a part of Greenland in the like I guess the colonialistic point of view. And on that note, I also raced Kathy Freeman when I was like 8 on the Derby Jetty, and she let me win. So that's my ego.
That's awesome. That's right, because she went and visited with them.
Yeah,
with,
she went to the primary schools. And she
was with, was it Nova or was it, it was with Deborah Mailman.
Yeah,
they did
yeah.
the trip together.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, just going back to, I guess, Melbourne Theatre, because I just looked up the cast. So Sharina Clanton, so if you don't remember... I don't even know her name. That's the lady who's actually she's in Wentworth as well.
Yeah, she plays Dor.
Dor.
If you're a fan of the show, then you would definitely know Dor. She's such a great character. But Sharina is an incredible actress who puts everything into her work. I just love her.
And Camille Ellis was the young fella. So Camille's actually been through a lot of kids shows that have been big through ABC. And Camille's a deadly little actor, and he's also, I think he's also just been a part of Clever Man, the last series. And the second series is coming up, Clever Man, guys, as in it's already started. And so that's definitely something to keep an eye out for, guys, because it's going to be deadly. All right, guys, stay tuned. We're going to play a new track from a new Indigenous artist, and we'll be right back.
Lay there in his street.
That was Luke Daniel Peacock with Dreambox. Deadly song indeed. Well, it's come to that point of time, unfortunately. Urban Dreaming has to stop for now, but we'll be definitely back next week, of course, Tuesday 8 till 9 p.m. And just wanted to quickly go through with everyone just what we're going to be introducing to Urban Dreaming for the next few weeks. So stay tuned for some deadly interviews, of course. Can you let us know a couple of interviews that will be happening?
Yeah, we got some huge stuff happening. Really excited about this celebrity stuff. So we've got some of the actors from Warriors, Nelson Baker. We're hoping to get someone from The Voice on here, maybe X Factor. If you sort of watch those shows and you know some of the Indigenous talent that's been on there, I'm not going to say too much, but I'm going to let you just sit with bated breath out there until the next weeks and see how we go.
And we're currently in conversation with Miranda Tapsell, so hopefully we'll have her in as well. Deadly, deadly artist indeed. So I just want to say thank you so much, Gail, for jumping on board. It's just been an honour, and we're looking forward to getting more female perception, you know, through our show. And of course, us fellas, deadly as always. And I just want to say goodbye for now. It's been a pleasure having you all listening to us, and stay tuned for next week, of course.
And sorry to all our listeners, we weren't able to talk to Gillan Michael Anderson tonight. He wasn't available.
He's a busy man.
Yeah, very busy guy. So sorry about that.
And yeah, unfortunately, Aunty Gail as well. She's at a function at the moment. She didn't even have 5 minutes. It's terrible, but she will definitely get back to us. And that's hopefully next week, because we'll talk about the 50 cent coin as well.
Yes.
Eddie Koike Mabo on a 50 cent coin.
How deadly is
that? You can always got them in your pocket. You can never forget.
So guys, we're going to pass it on to Triple Bypass. Don't forget, that's another great show you must tune into. And thank you once again. You're an Urban Dreaming. And this, the time is now actually 2 minutes. We've got 2 minutes, guys. Let's make the best of it.
So we're also potentially looking to talk to, drumroll please, Emma Donovan, who was a... Oh, thank you so much. There we go. She was a real bestseller on Record Store Day, along with the re-release of AB Originals' Black, Red and Yellow Vinyl. Her album with the putbacks on local record label Hope Street Recordings was a big seller. So, you know, she's got a big voice, done a wonderful cover that we heard tonight of The Dead Heart, Midnight Oil in 1987. And, yeah, really looking forward to talking to her.
Check out our webpage, our Facebook page. It soon will be a webpage. That's Urban Dreaming, and you'll always be updated with all the shows for the coming weeks as well. So, yeah, all the best, guys. Take care and look after yourselves.
Next up is Triple Bypass.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.